Australia's Red Cross has led the signing of a declaration to protect humanitarian aid workers. It happened at this week's United Nations General Assembly in New York, with over 100 countries signing the declaration. Data shows 2025 is shaping up to be the year with the highest number of aid worker deaths on record. Most of the casualties have occurred in Gaza, with the rest in other conflict zones, including Sudan and Ukraine. Australian Red Cross CEO Andrew Colvin spoke to reporter Alexandra Jones about why the Declaration on the Protection of Humanitarian Personnel is critical to ensuring the protection of aid workers and also accountability for those who are killed while on duty.
And essentially it's an agreement by all of the signatories to commit to a certain number of actions to support aid workers, humanitarian workers, particularly in conflict zones. And we've seen over recent years a very high number of deaths of aid workers. So this is a commitment by a number of countries, well over half of the countries that could sign the declaration, led by Australia, coming together to say we want to do more to protect aid workers.
Can you tell us a bit about the experience of aid workers specifically in Gaza and how that differs from other conflict zones or other areas that the Red Cross typically goes into?
Yeah, well, I think the thing I'd say first up is that every humanitarian aid worker that volunteers to give their time and their skill and their expertise to support others does so in vastly different circumstances, and no two circumstances are the same around the globe. What is a common thread amongst them is that you're going into an area or a zone or a country or a city that obviously has high humanitarian need, and therefore there'd be a reason for that. So it's often could be famine or in this case, conflict. And Gaza has been at the front of people's minds now for nearly 2 years. It has been an area where there has been huge humanitarian need and growing humanitarian need that the world's humanitarian organisations are certainly very focused on. And we in the Red Cross, Red Crescent movement have lent in as strongly as we possibly can to supporting that humanitarian need on the ground. But of course, Gaza is a conflict zone, and Gaza is in the middle of an active conflict right now. It's an urban conflict, a conflict that has been fought out in the streets. And for aid workers who are, whether they're in sanitation or housing or could be health, as the case is for many Australian aid workers, that puts you at a level of danger which is perhaps different to what we've seen before. Wars are being fought differently. Wars are being fought in the streets. Wars are being fought in urban environments. And that brings a new level of risk and a new level of danger to aid workers who are in there trying to deliver that absolutely imperative and critical humanitarian aid need.
I've seen as part of this declaration that 2025, we're on track for this to be the worst year in terms of casualties of aid workers. Can you tell us where we're at in terms of the numbers right now and why you say that we're on track to be the highest ever this year?
The figures are startling, and they're certainly nothing for anyone in the global environment to be proud of. So right now in 2025, and we're not yet three quarters of the way through 2025. And records vary, of course, numbers vary, but on the best records and the best data that is available, there's been 290 lives lost globally in conflict zones to humanitarian aid workers. Last year, 2024, was the worst year on record with 380 lives lost. 2023 wasn't much better with nearly 290 or just over 290 lives lost. So yet again, 2025 is looking like being another record year. And I think the key message here is we can't accept this. We have to do more. And the loss of aid workers, humanitarian workers' lives, they're not indispensable. And we can't just consider it a cost of conflict. I think the world needs to come together to do more to support humanitarian aid workers in all conflicts, but particularly in Gaza.
How many Australians do you know that have been going or are there right now with the Red Cross?
So Australia has a proud history of humanitarian aid workers, so it's no surprise that there are a number of Australians in Gaza at the moment. I can only, of course, speak from an Australian Red Cross perspective, and we've had, I think it's about 20 different delegates, 20 different experts, largely in the health sector, have deployed into Gaza over the last 2 years. On about 25 different occasions. And a deployment usually lasts around 4 to 8 weeks, somewhere in there. It varies, of course, according to the role, according to the security situation. And this is our commitment. This is our commitment to the global humanitarian effort. This is our commitment as Australian Red Cross, and we will continue with that commitment. But of course, it's getting more dangerous for our delegates and our experts that put themselves forward to these roles.
As far as we know, there's been one Australian national, not with the Red Cross, but with the World Central Kitchen, that has been killed in Gaza. Is that still the case? And generally, how many ICRC staff specifically have been killed in Gaza?
Yeah, that's right. So that is the case. Of course, Sommy Frankham, the World Central Kitchen, our thoughts continue to be with her family, and her brother was in New York with the foreign minister when this declaration was launched. That is the only Australian recorded humanitarian worker death. We hope that it stays that way, of course. But from a Red Cross, Red Crescent perspective, the loss of lives continues. And ICRC generally in Gaza, we've lost 67 or around 67 humanitarian aid workers across the Palestinian Red Crescent Society, across MAGM, David Adom, and MDA, which is Israel's Red Crescent, Red Cross participant, Syrian Arab Red Crescent, the Iranian Red Crescent, and of course, there's international Red Cross workers from other countries there under the banner of the ICRC. So the number 67. That's 67 deaths that didn't need to happen. That's 67 lives of volunteers who are putting themselves in the face of danger to help others. And as I said before, we can't just, these people are not dispensable. We can't just look at this as a cost of conflict.
How do these numbers of casualties in this conflict compare to other conflicts? Is it a real shock that this many people have died in just this one conflict in 2 years?
It is a shock. It is a shock, and the loss of lives of humanitarian workers in Gaza is a big portion of the global loss of humanitarian workers, but it's not in its entirety. We are losing humanitarian workers in other conflicts, and right now in the world there are over 120 active conflicts. That is as high as it has been, certainly in our living memory. So there's more conflict in the world right now. There is more humanitarian aid need right now, humanitarian need right now, and that's resulting in more loss of humanitarian workers' lives. Gaza is accounting for a large portion of that on all sides of the conflict, but it's of course not the only conflict in the world at the moment. It's horrific, and I think that is what's brought so many countries, over 100 countries together, to sign the declaration and to commit and to compel themselves to do more, to work harder together, to ensure that we are protecting lives, to ensure that aid is flowing, to ensure that there is accountability when international laws are not followed, when the international humanitarian laws, the laws that dictate how wars are fought, are not followed. We need accountability. And that was what we were as a movement was so proud to stand up and see. And I was very proud for Australia to lead that we need to be doing more.
You say that Australia's led this, and a lot of countries have kind of come on board. Why is it that Australia was a leader in this, and what impact do you think it is going to have?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think Australia is a leader of this because Australia sees itself as a country that needs to stand up for humanitarian workers. There is no question in my mind that the death of Zomi from the World Central Kitchen last year left a huge impact on the government in Australia, but it also had a huge impact on Australia as a whole. To think that someone who had put themselves in danger to support others should have lost their life doing that is something that is not acceptable. And I think that galvanized Australia to action. It certainly galvanized our foreign minister. And she has led through the government, a concerted effort to bring others on that journey with her. Now, of course, words are not enough. We need to see action. We need to see something change. We need to see things done differently. We need to see accountability. And we need to see humanitarian aid workers' lives protected. The best way, of course, to do that is to end conflict. We know that. But we also need to ensure that people are following the international laws and norms. And I think this declaration will give action to those words by bringing countries together in a way that perhaps we haven't done until now. I think it will bring further advocacy, further education, and shine a spotlight, which needs to happen, onto the fact and the plight of humanitarian workers globally.
What's the message you want Australians to, I guess, feel or hear in terms of other Australians going over there to assist?
Look, I mean, I'd love for Australians to be proud of the fact that we have a very long and proud history of stepping forward to support humanitarian need, no matter where it is in the globe. Obviously, the Red Cross, Red Crescent movement, and the Australian Red Cross are deeply committed to continuing to support humanitarian need. And we take our neutrality very carefully and very seriously. We have no view on the conflict. What we have a view on is the needs on the ground and humanitarian needs. And we talk about the Rafah Field Hospital. It's a hospital that's struggling to put resources together. It's a hospital that's struggling to get supplies. It's a hospital that's delivering acute medical aid with some of the poorest of conditions and a severe shortage and limitation of what it has to do that with. So I want Australians to be proud of the work that we do. I want Australians to continue to advocate for the work that we do. And of course, like everybody, I want to see an end to the conflict so that we can get the humanitarian aid in. And I'm sure that most Australians, or if not all Australians, want the same thing.
What are the specific risks, that face aid workers on the ground there in Gaza? I know that we say only one Australian, one Australian's too much, but one Australian has been killed. Have any others been injured? And what are the specific risks that they're facing?
Well, the specific risks are that they are in a built-up urban environment in the middle of what is an urban conflict. So, to talk to our delegates, to talk to our experts, and to hear others interviewed as well, not just from the Red Cross, Red Crescent movement, shelling, stray bullets are a regular occurrence. Obviously, moving in the city is exceptionally dangerous. So, if you need to move out of the hospital precinct to get medical facilities, to get medical aid to someone, that is exceptionally dangerous because you are moving through an active conflict zone. So these are real challenges that our aid workers are dealing with each and every night. They probably become a little bit immune to the sounds of war happening around them, but I'm absolutely certain they are never complacent about that. And it cannot be an easy environment for them to deliver the vital medical aid that they are doing in this case. While shelling is occurring around them, while stray bullets have been known to pierce the hospital, have come very close to their accommodation, have certainly we've seen convoys of vehicles attacked as well, or caught up in the conflict. This is a real life, everyday occurrence.
Now that the declaration has been signed, is there any further work or advocacy that the Australian Red Cross has planned over the next few months as the conflict, I guess, does roll on?
Yeah, we do, and in many ways, the declaration that was it was a wonderful day on Sunday in New York, Monday morning our time, to see the declaration launch. But from my perspective, and I'm sure from all humanitarian aid organisations' perspective, that's the start of the journey. We've now committed to it. Countries have signed up to it. Countries have said that they want to do more. We need to see more done. The Red Cross, Red Crescent movement will continue to advocate strongly for the protection of workers. We'll be working through a quiet diplomacy means with all parties to a conflict, with all parties that we think can help influence and shape a ceasefire, for instance, or a political resolution that brings about peace so that humanitarian aid can flow. From Australian Red Cross perspective, we might feel that we are a long way from Gaza. We may be geographically, but we're not in terms of our effort and our aid. The efforts of the Australian community to support us, to support our colleagues in the country will continue. We will continue to put delegates into the country, experts, expert aid workers. And also, we want to do more to educate the community, educate the public, and also work with government on why international humanitarian law matters, what international humanitarian law is. The fact that wars have laws, and we need to do more to educate the community so that they know that as well. So expect to see us talking about this a lot more.